is waiting on God. All right, waiting on God. It's not something that we like to do sometimes, but it's key for a missionary to wait on God for God's direction, but it's also key in the Christian life as a whole. Again, not something I like to do because I like to be in motion. I like to be doing something. I've always been a go-go-go type of person. I think that I probably get that from my dad. But in Psalm chapter 27, we see here a psalm of David. In the verse 13 and 14, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, that's a lot easier said than done. It's a lot easier said than done. You know, I could look back at 2020 and be like, Lord, I know you were leading me to go on deputation. But you know what? It was part of the storm. We can think of the disciples being in the middle of the storm. And we can criticize them for their lack of faith. But when we go through the storm, what do we do? How do we act? Do we look to the Lord? Or do we just keep rowing for hours on end, trying to do it in our own strength, in our own power? How do we react? How does a missionary react? I am human. I'm no more human than anybody else here. And this isn't just a message for you. Isn't it just a message for me? Or on live stream? It's just simply what the Lord has laid on my heart tonight.
Yeah. Amen.
But before we begin more, let's open up with a word of prayer here tonight. Dear Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for just your word, Lord, and your promises, Lord, where you'll never leave us nor forsake us, Lord. And I want to thank you, Lord, for your word and your promises that you have given to us, Lord. And I want to thank you, Lord, again, for life that you've given to us, Lord. And I pray, Lord, now that we could just live it for you. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been commonly said that, you know, when we don't wait on the Lord, we can kind of shoot ourselves in the foot. I can think of many people in the Bible. First one is Abraham. How long did he have to wait to get a son that God promised? How long did he have to wait to actually go? A long time. I can think of Moses. 40 years he spent in Egypt. But then God had to humble him because he got ahead of himself for 40 years. Then he brought him back. So the last third of his life was more promising than the other two thirds. But waiting on God, that's something Christians don't like to do. As Americans, we can get impatient. We want it now. That's the generation, unfortunately, my generation as well. I don't know what was going on with this lady, but we were in Indianapolis. I was with my wife. We were on our getaway, our anniversary getaway. And I was going to pass this lady on the right-hand side. All of a sudden, I don't know what happened. She just blew up. And I was just like, okay, ignore, keep going. But impatient. I had no idea what upset her. Absolutely no idea. But the impatience in this generation is going to cost us in the future. And I'm talking Christians now. We want results. We want to, guess what? We want the numbers. We want to show people those results. But if we go to Acts chapter 16, we'll see the only two places in Scripture where God closes a door. They have had success, but God closes it. In verse 4 here, Acts 16 and verse 4. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep, that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increasing in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. So twice here we see forbidden of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit suffered them not. This is like a football team taking a knee, it would seem like, right? Or a basketball point guard just dribbling the ball. But that word forbidden there, that's a verb. That's taking action. So there is something actively stopping them, the Holy Ghost stopping them. Now, during this time frame, Rome did not control all of Asia Minor. It could have been pestilence, it could have been war, it could have been many other things where God was saying to them, stop here. They were having success, and the hardest thing for Christians to do when they're having success is to listen to the Lord sometimes. And sometimes, guess what? That's my fault as well. They were having success, the churches were established, they were, guess what, increasing in number daily. Not monthly, daily. The churches they established. But then the Holy Ghost was just like, no, stop. Stop. Now, when we were in Liberia, we had a good thing going. Our missions pastor had established our house, our cars, so that when we got there, we could hit the ground running. We had a number of men that we were working with, trying to train. But then, this Muslim landlord comes and shuts us out on a Sunday morning. And guess who they're all looking at? My missions pastor had just gone back a month earlier. And I was reading, and I went through this passage the week before. And I was just like, okay, Lord, are you shutting the door on us here with this group? Do you want us to work with this group? Was this that door closing? We were having success. We were seeing people saved. But so much, even in my eyes, it can get clouded. And that can be the most dangerous thing for a Christian. Is that success? And not only that, but the pressure of the missionary. How am I going to write home about this? Do I write home about it? I did. But what do we say to our supporting churches? Hey, supporting church, guess what? I lost all my guys. We got kicked out by a Muslim. We were having success. Now, I can say that in jest now, but the Lord had a plan. It wasn't my plan. I wouldn't have wanted to do it this way. But God was trying to grow up me and the guys I was working with. He was trying them as well. So we met at the beach. That beach picture was absolutely beautiful. That was the Atlantic Ocean. We looked like lobsters every day after we got done there, but it was beautiful. But God brought people across our paths, having a service on the beach that we normally wouldn't have crossed paths with. And one of them was a lady. 6 weeks in, no building. The guys were starting to falter, and I was simply trying to encourage them. Keep going. Keep praying about it. The Lord will provide. And he did provide in a big way. But this lady would come, and she would sit in our service. And this is just one instance where people ran across our service there. And after the service, she came up to us, and she was like, I want this church in my house. I want you guys to meet in our place. Now, typically in Liberia, you really have to scope out a place before you you meet there. Because there's a lot of people who say that. But then you go there, and they mean well, but it is not a good place to meet. It is not a good place to meet. But turns out, this was actually the nicest place to meet in that community. And the lady she wasn't saved. Her husband had died 10 years earlier. And then her oldest son had died. She was hating life. She was at the end of her ropes, walking along the beach that day, when she heard preaching and saw us gathered there. She joined, and after we started meeting there, about 6 weeks later, she would get saved. She would be saved. A lady that normally we wouldn't come across. Now, several months later, her oldest son, living son, would be saved. Then 6 months after that, her oldest daughter would be saved. The word of God changed that family so much. And it's such amazing to see what God can do when you wait. Now, he was telling Paul and his team to wait. Later on, they would get the Macedonian call. And now we know that Lydia, the seller of purple, would be saved, and her family. Paul would cast out a spirit out of somebody, the evil spirit, and then they would get thrown in jail. I'm sure that wasn't part of their plan. But you know what? God has a great plan. You know, Napoleon said that all great plans go to pieces at the sound of the first shot in battle. We can have a plan. You young people can have a plan for your lives. I want to go to this college. I want to do this career. But what about God? Is he in your plans? And you know what that takes? Is faith. It takes faith. And I get asked in Liberia, what is faith? Well, and I typically answer them with this. There's an animal in Africa. It can go 45 miles per hour. It can jump 10 feet high, so taller than a basketball hoop. and it can jump at a stride, running full speed, it can jump 35 feet. That's a pretty amazing animal. But you know what? Zoos love them because they're easy to contain. All you have to do is build a wall this high, 3.5 feet high, just higher than what they can see, and they will never jump over the top of it. Never. Because they will never jump what they cannot see over. Faith is jumping when we cannot see what's on the other side. It's taking that leap. Now, Paul and his team here were about to take that leap, not knowing what's on the other side, not knowing what dangers were there. But as we continue reading here, we're going to see. And I want us to see in verse 9 and 10 here. Now a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over unto into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. They had no idea what they were getting into. No idea. But notice this. We endeavored to go into Macedonia. There wasn't an I in there at all. Paul didn't keep the vision to himself. And it was immediate. When you pray for a missionary, or when you support a missionary, it's not just smoke. It's not just vain words. It's you helping that missionary. It's a we, not an I. We have prayer cards. They look like this. When you pray for a missionary, even though you're here, guess what? You're there. It's a we. Now, I just want to point out one other thing here. That assuredly gathering, that's a word that means twined together. Much like how our clothes are twined together here tonight. They were interwoven. They were trusting Paul with their lives here. And when I was just talking with a pastor here about a young man who had gotten malaria in the Ivory Coast or Sierra Leone, and he died from it in the U.S. They had no idea what he had, and it was too late. That's rampant in Liberia. There are many other things that, guess what, that happen. Now, Paul, he was beaten. He was whipped. But you know what? Two families were saved because of this. Two. This isn't my first time in Africa. I was in Africa in 2009 in Botswana and Zimbabwe, southern Africa. I was in Bible college, my third year in Bible college to start. And things were going good. I had led somebody to the Lord for the first time, a non-American first time over there. Things were going good. But then, as Satan likes to do, he likes to distract us. I got a call from home. Not expecting this. Your dad had died. That's what I got. And at that time, he had just gotten saved in July of that year. He had attended church for over 30 years. I praise God for that. But when you're on the front lines and something like that happens, you feel like you're in a hole. And Satan wants to make you feel like that. God isn't even close to you. God is so far away from you. But you know what? God gave me the peace that passes all understanding. I cannot explain it. That was the longest trip back in my life. And I hate to even mention that. And I wish I could tell you everything my dad was to me. But I can't help but think of the missionaries of years gone by who sometimes had no contact for years from people. What do I have to complain about? To finish this up rather quickly, Acts chapter 16 and verse 40. And quickly, I mean by 30 minutes here. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. I just want you to answer this question. Who did the comforting here? Who did the comforting? I am looking for an answer. Not to put anybody on the spot. And to wake people up. Who did the comforting here? Was it a person? And they went out of prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Who did the comforting? Was it a person? Who's the comforter? See, I can show you and I can tell you freely and plainly what God did in Liberia to that one house. Not because I did it, but because God does it. It's God that saved that people. It's God that kicked us out of where we were meeting. And it was God that did the comforting. It was God. And with that, I just ask that you just pray for us in Liberia. So, and with that, I'll turn it over.